morning's reading is taken from Acts chapter 1, starting at verse 1. In my former book, Theophilus, I wrote about all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day he was taken up to heaven after giving instructions through the Holy Spirit to the apostles he had chosen. After his suffering, he presented himself to them and gave many convincing proofs that he was alive. He appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command: "Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." They then gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." After he said this, he was taken up before their very eyes, and a cloud hid him from their sight. They were looking intently up into the sky as he was going, when suddenly two men dressed in white stood beside them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way you have seen him go into heaven."
True prayer as we come to God's word. Thank you, Father, for your word. And we pray, Lord, that you would speak to us this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, in just a moment, we'll be setting up the baptism pool. It will be just over here. And we're going to ask Vicky to go up the stairs behind the stage here and come out of this hole in the stage and jump into the baptism pool that will be down here. And that's how we'll be conducting the baptism this morning. I wish. Well, would you be up for that, Vicky? I'm not sure. Yeah, oh, well, no, definitely not then. I'd be up for it, but I've missed my chance, really. My baptism has already happened. No, we won't be doing that, but if you drop anything into water, you get a splash, don't you? And then you get some ripples coming out from the center. And the point I want to make this morning is that quite often, we think of ourselves as Christians in the church here in the UK as the splash, the center of things. This is where it's all happening. But in fact, we are the distant ripples coming way out from the central splash. Julie read the Bible for us just now, and one of the verses she read was Acts 1, verse 8, which says, "You will be my witnesses," Jesus says, "in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We are the ends of the earth. We are not the center of things. So let's go back to where God started it all. And we've already been reminded, haven't we, from the memory verse last week, that God had a plan to rescue us through, kids, a family. And that family was actually a very, very long way away from here. Now, I've got a map that will hopefully come up on the screen. Here we go. This is where the family was, down there. In Iraq. Now, I don't know, kids, do your parents ever drag you out on these long walks on a Sunday afternoon? Yeah, I know the feeling. We used to do that. You won't regret it one day. But we go on these long walks, and if we were out for, say, 45 minutes to an hour, our little legs would be a little bit tired. An hour and a half, that would be a really long walk. Well, if you were to go for a brisk walk for 3 hours every single day, it would take you an entire year to walk to this place. It is very, very far away. We kind of lose sight of that, don't we? Because you can jump on a plane and do it in 6 hours, but it is a very long way away. And yet, even though God started his plan through this family a very long way away, he had us in the UK in mind from the beginning. Now we're going to look at our memory verse together, and Hannah is going to help us to learn it. Thanks, Hannah.
Yes, lips. So we're going to look at this brilliant verse from Genesis 12. Now, hopefully when you arrived on your seat, you will have found the next magnet in our series. Who was buzzing to see that there today to add to the collection? Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Becca, strong. Becca's actually requested one from previously because it's gone missing. You have to have a full collection. Now, those magnets are for you to take home to hopefully add to the collection that we started at the beginning of the year. But for now, I want you to put them out of sight because that will be cheating. Okay, so put them out of sight. I should say as well, if you're missing a prior magnet or you need another one, drop me an email of those that you're in need of and we will get those ready for you for next week. But we're going to learn this verse together. And remember that we've seen already, can you remember the actions that we've been learning to go along with the Bible overview? So where does it start? With creation. And then we see the fall. Then we had... Who's that? Noah. And last week, we started thinking about Abraham. So we thought about the fact that God was going to rescue his people through a family. So let's do that really quickly. Creation. The fall. Noah. Abraham. A family. Brilliant. So let's think about this verse together then. If you're in the room, we're going to say it. We're going to say it out loud. Please do keep your masks on and you don't need to shout. But let's read this verse together with the reference. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12, verse 3b. Okay, if we could have the next slide, please. Now, we've lost a few words. Let's think about these words that we're missing. Because it said all peoples of earth. So this verse is talking about a massive group of people. How many people? All people. So let's read it again. Try and remember those missing words. All peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12, verse 3b. Okay, let's take away another word or two. Oh, that was quite a jump. That was a bit mean of me. Let's try and say it again. Do you reckon we can remember that? All brilliant. So we check out the word blessed there. What does it mean to be blessed? Anyone want to give that a go for us? What does it mean to be blessed? Ava?
Be loved.
Yeah, loved. To be given everything, to be completely equipped, to be blessed is a massive word. That this verse is saying that all peoples on earth, everyone, is to be blessed through you, through Abraham. This is talking to Abraham. Okay, let's do the next one. Oh, wow. I thought I'd put more steps in this. I feel like they might have skipped a couple. Okay, so we don't have any prompts anymore, but we can remember this, can't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, ready?
All peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
Excellent. So it was going to be through Abraham that all peoples on earth would be blessed. Through one person, God was going to go about his massive rescue plan to save the whole earth. What an incredible truth to be reminded of this morning. And I think we should say it together one more time before handing back to Sam. So nice and loudly if you're in the room. At home, I do hope you're doing this as well, sat on your sofas, looking at your laptop screens. So all together,
all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. Genesis 12, verse
3b. Brilliant. Sam.
Thank you. That's great, yeah. So all peoples on earth, that's us. But we are the ends of the earth. We are right out in the ripples, not the centre of things. Now, the UK isn't the centre of things, but which nation was the centre of things in the Old Testament? Who was God's chosen nation, children? Israelites, that's right, the nation of Israel. So Exodus 19, verse 5 says, to Israel, out of all nations, you will be my treasured possession. Now, Israel is a very different place to the UK. And I've got a little video to illustrate this. This is one I came across at Oak Hill. And it's a Jewish man reading the last few verses of the book of Ruth. That's actually a genealogy. It's a family tree of David. But I think you agree, it's a little bit different to how we would read it on a Sunday morning. So can we have the video, please?
Ve'ele toledot paretz, peretz holidet hetzron. Ve'hetzron holidet ram, ve'ram holidet aminadav. Ve'aminadav holidet nachshon, ve'nachshon holidet salma. Ve'salmon holidet boaz, ובועז הוליד את עובד, ועובד הוליד את ישי, וישי הוליד את דוד.
Okay, so it's in Hebrew, but you might have recognized one or two of the names in there. Kids, if you're in a school assembly, is that the kind of song that you might sing? Or do you, any of the adults have a CD in the car of that kind of thing? It's quite a different culture to ours. And what I want us to take from this is just for us to have humility about our faith, because it actually started an awfully long way away from us in a culturally very different place. And too often, this is my instinct anyway, we become complacent and we take it for granted that we can call ourselves Christians and we can follow Jesus. And partly that is because we've grown up in what was historically a Christian country where it was taught that God is the God of the whole world. And so if God is the God of the whole world, then of course he's our God and of course we can worship him. And that's true, of course. But we shouldn't take it for granted that we at the ends of the earth can call ourselves God's people. Now, when we have that attitude of humility, it just changes our approach to things. It means that no longer do we just assume, you know, I actually know the Bible pretty well. I don't need to read that very often. We are all in reception at primary school when it comes to understanding the faith and when it comes to our relationship with God. Similarly, with prayer, when we're talking to other people, maybe even when we come across other Christians in churches in this area or globally, we might be tempted to think, you know, I know all about the Christian faith. I know the gospel. I'm one of God's people. It might be true. But actually, we might come across people and we look down on their faith because it's not exactly the same as ours. We've got to be so careful because the Christian message, the Christian rescue plan, did not start with us here in the UK. So we need to be humble. And yet, although we are the ends of the earth, God had us in mind from the beginning. And this is really heartwarming. So I've got a timeline to help us here. Here we go. So right at the start, this is when God chose the people of Israel. He gave them a law. And as part of that law, he said, or rather it was said about God, God defends the cause of the fatherless and the widow and loves the foreigner residing among you, giving them food and clothing. So, if any of us from the UK in Old Testament times had gone to live in Israel, then what everyone in Israel would have been told about us was, God loves that person. God loves Bernard and Rosie, who have gone to live in ancient Israel. Any one of us, God loves us, right from the beginning. Later, King David wrote these words inspired by the Holy Spirit. This is Psalm 86, verse 9. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, Lord. They will bring glory to your name. When the kingdom came to an end, the prophet Isaiah prophesied, in the last days, the mountain of the Lord's temple will be established, and all the nations will stream into it. That's us. And the moment became a reality when Jesus came. Now, John was one of the gospel writers. He wrote the life story of Jesus. And throughout John's gospel, people come up to him and they say, Jesus, when will it be your time to shine? And he keeps saying to them, the hour hasn't come yet. The hour hasn't come. It hasn't come. It's not ready. But then later in John's gospel, there is a moment when Jesus says, the hour has come. And what causes that change? What means that it's now this world-changing moment when Jesus has reached his time to shine? Well, it's actually when some people from the Ripples, some Greeks, not Israelite people, come to Jesus and they say, Sir, they say to his disciples, Sir, we would like to see Jesus. These people are coming in from outside, and then when that happens, Jesus says, the hour has come. This is the life-changing moment. And then Jesus taught, when I am lifted up, that is to die on the cross, I will draw all people to myself. The door is now open for us at the ends of the earth to become God's people, which we do by believing the message that Jesus came to earth, God came to earth in the person of Jesus to die on the cross to save us from our sins. And it's that message that went out in Acts. I read that verse again, Acts 1 verse 8. You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. We are the ends of the earth. We don't own Christianity. We're not right at the center of God's rescue plan where it took place originally. And yet, from the beginning, God loved us and he wanted to bring us into God's family. So we really are welcome into God's family, which brings me on to why I put my coat on at the beginning of the sermon. Because I want to just teach one thing about what baptism illustrates this morning. It's a bit like going to somebody's house for dinner. So let's say I went to Hannah's house for dinner, and I arrive and I knock at the door. Knock, knock, knock. Hi, Hannah.
Hi, Sam. Great to see you.
And I come in, and I think I'm probably welcome at Hannah's house, so I'm going to take my coat off. Here we go. Can I come in, Hannah? There we go. That's my coat. Oh. Well, that's sad, isn't it? That doesn't happen when you go to somebody's house for dinner. Let me put that coat back on again. All right. I've got my coat on. I've come to Hannah's house for dinner. Let's try this again. Knock, 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 knock. Hey, Hannah, how's it going?
Hi, Sam. Good to see you.
Can I come in?
Yeah, of course.
Can I give you my coat? Is that okay?
It's
absolutely freezing in the Knights Templar School Hall, so
yeah,
I want a coat.
There
we go. Oh, brilliant. Thanks very much. There we go. I'm welcome in the house, aren't I? I'm welcome. And baptism is a bit like God taking our coats. It's that really visual sign that we are welcome in the house. God doesn't give us baptism and then say, actually, you've been baptized, but I'm not interested anymore. You're not welcome in the family. God's taken our coats. So this is, we'll apply to you, Vicky. It will apply to all of us in the room who have been baptized. God has taken your coat. You are welcome in the family, even though we are the ends of the earth. I find that incredibly heartwarming and reassuring. So let's thank God now for what he's done for us as we pray. Lord God, you started your rescue plan with Abraham a very, very long way away from here. But we thank you that from the beginning you had us in mind. And that is why we are here today in the UK, in Baldock, worshipping your name. Thank you that we are welcome in your family. And we pray that we would honor you in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen.